Well, could we open our Bibles, please, at 1 John chapter 4. We're going passage by passage through the book. Notice the words at the end of verse 6. Hereby, that means by this, this is how. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. About all I can remember from my time in chemistry class in school, of course, you're probably saying, well, no wonder you don't remember, it's so long ago. But the only thing I can remember is the first day when the teacher warned us of the dangers of carrying on or misbehaving in the class and told us you may be handling very dangerous chemicals. You may come into contact with them, and therefore, no misbehaving, and therefore remember this rhyme. Johnny was a lab boy, a lassie is no more. For what he thought was H2O was H2SO4. In other words, what he thought was water, H2O, was really a glass of H2SO4, sulfuric acid. There's different versions of that story. Well, you can be deceived, and being deceived can have disastrous results. But even more disimportant than having discernment about the chemicals is to have discernment about spiritual things, because they involve eternal issues. And this passage has to do with how to discern between truth and error. Note right away in verse 1, beloved. So this is to every believer. It's not written to ministers or elders or some class of theologians or scholars. It's written to every Christian. If you know Christ as your Savior, here's a warning to you this morning. John is saying, look, beloved, and he gives you two commands in verse 1. See them there. First of all, let's look at them. Believe not every spirit. And actually, it has the connotation of stop believing every spirit. It seems that some of them were already been led astray. So he's saying, beloved, stop believing every spirit. Now, I don't have time to go into it, but I don't believe for one second that's referring to talking to evil spirits, or you have to speak to them, or it's not talking about that. It's talking about false teachers. And behind teaching, there's either the spirit of truth or the spirit of error. It's talking about judging teachers, preachers, men or women who claim to be prophets. That's what it's talking about. Stop believing every prophet that comes along. Why? Well, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Notice that. Many false prophets. Have you ever heard anybody say to you, who doesn't say, I don't believe the Bible, look, if Christianity is true, how come there's so many varieties? Surely if Christianity was true, there'd only be one church, and how come there are so many different groups teaching so many things? Well, you can look them in the eye and say, well, actually, that's very wise and astute of you, because that proves the Bible's true. Can you see it there in verse 1? That proves the Bible's true, that there are so many varieties. Because John has just said there are many false teachers. Now, these false teachers were claiming to be Christian teachers. And John's going to say they have nothing to do with them. Of course, there are many, many groups out there. And it only backs up what the Savior said them too. There'll be many false prophets come into the world. And that is the proof. The proof. Now, he goes on in this passage to talk about Antichrist. Antichrist. You get that in verse 3. Remember, we did underline a few weeks ago the word anti does not necessarily mean against. It can mean in place of. And remember that Paul in 2 Corinthians 11 said there are some people, they're preaching about Jesus, they're preaching about the gospel, they use that terminology, but it's another Jesus. It's not the Christ of the Bible. It's another message. It's not a true gospel at all. They've put another teaching in his place. They're talking about another person. It's not the Jesus Christ revealed in the Bible. It's a Jesus of their own imagination. So Paul too warns about this, but John is saying, look, don't believe every teacher. Don't be gullible. Don't be taken in. Don't believe everybody stands up and says, I'm a Christian preacher. I'm a Christian teacher. Listen to what I say. Don't believe them. Stop believing everybody who comes along. It's interesting, by the way, last week we talked about love. Verse 7 and chapter 4 on, it's about love again. And right in the middle of portions about love, there's this portion to warn about false teachers. You see, while we are as Christians to be soft-hearted, and that ought to be a characteristic of a true Christian, we ought to be soft-hearted. We ought to have love for one another and love for those who are out of the way, because we were out of the way, we were unsaved. So we ought to have a soft heart, but don't have a soft head. Don't have a soft head. Be wise. Be wise. Stop believing them. And you know John, who's known as the apostle of love, I checked it yesterday. 40 times in his gospel and in his three epistles, truth, truth, truth. So it's not a contradiction to say Christians ought to be loving, but Christians have to guard the truth. And that's what he's talking about in this passage. You see, the internet can be a very beneficial thing. I was reminded about that up in Ballymoney, because the service is broadcast live, webcast, and different ones watched it. One of their elders is very ill, and he watched it every night, and he'd send texts after the service. He did come in during the week to get his picture taken with the model of the high priest. But they told me that afterwards there were 200 individuals had clicked into the webcast and watched at least part of the message on Sunday night. And very beneficial. They asked me afterwards to do a little promotional, as it were, just 2 minutes on the meaning of the high priest. That was Sunday night. They told me when I went up on Monday night, you know, there were 1,400 people had looked at that. I says, what, 1,400? It's amazing. The benefits and the sermons from sermon audio that are listened to. We're in touch with somebody from Australia, friends, and they were going to listen in to the broadcast during the week. And it can be very beneficial. There's so much rubbish on the internet as well. And there's so many people are taken in because they read what some so-called Christian says. The famous showman in America, P.T. Barnum, made a fortune out of the famous statement he made, there's a sucker born every minute. And of course, you probably know that one of the main industries in Nigeria, the money-making industries for Nigeria, is scamming elderly people in Western countries out of their money through the internet. Through the internet. Or you get a tax rebate from the Inland Revenue. Have you had that one yet? On your email? The Inland Revenue owes you so much money. Well, the Inland Revenue is not going to send you an email. They'll hardly give you back any of your tax. Anyway, we'll not be too hard on them. And so those people can be deceived. That's what I'm saying. Scams. And more importantly than people with the financial scams through the internet are people who believe everything they read. Whether it's on the internet or whether it's on the God channels or TV or everything they hear. And the false cults come round the doors, the Mormonism, the Jehovah Witnesses and other groups. And my, they're putting forth their teachings, and gullible people are taken up. Of course, the main recruits among Jehovah Witnesses would be nominal Christians. What I mean is people who had some connection with the church but don't even know the first thing about Scripture. And they fool them with their so-called pretend knowledge. And even among some professed evangelicals today, there's teaching that's not right. But there's many a Christian, even sadly born-again Christian, and they suck it in. And here's a command that's relevant to us today. Believer, don't believe every teacher. And then he goes further in the second command. Try them. See it, verse 1. Try the spirits. What does that mean? Test them. Prove them. Just as gold is tested by various methods. Test them. Don't follow them. Don't believe them. Now, how do you test a prophet? Well, I could turn to many portions of Scripture. I could turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 13. Moses said, here's how you test a prophet who claims to come in the name of Jehovah. He's not claiming to come in the name of Baal or Ashtaroth or a false god, but he comes and says, I'm from Jehovah. Here's how you test him. Chapter 18, he does the same. If a prophet claims to speak on behalf of Jehovah and it doesn't come true, he's not from Jehovah. Of course, that sums up the Jehovah Witnesses, all the prophecies they made about the end of the world. Of course, they're not Jehovah Witnesses. They're false. But you test them. We could go to tests the Lord Jesus Christ talked about. Now, before we get to this one, let me remind you what we read in Jude 4. Test their methods. Their methods. In Jude 4, I read that there are certain men, and they crept in. Crept in. Creepers. What does that mean? It was a word that was used for a burglar. They don't come through the door saying, here I am to rob you. They break a window and get in with stealth. It was used of a devious lawyer using words to trick. And Jude warned about their false teachers coming. They say they're Christians, but they're teaching falsehood. And they're not going to stand up with a big sign, I deny the truthfulness about Christ. They're going to use terminology that's deceptive. And then we read in 2 Peter 2, many shall follow their pernicious ways. And Peter goes on to say, the way of truth shall be evil spoken of through covetousness. And with vain words they make merchandise of you. Watch out. Watch out. The motive, now not all false teachers, but many of them, their motive is to make money out of people. It's not really to teach the word. It's to make money. It's to fleece the people. And you've had all kinds of scams down through history. Cult leaders. One of the men in Ballymena said to me, there's a man, most of you not know of his name, I don't know much about him, Creffo Dollar. He's one of the main speakers on some of the God channels from America. They said he's coming to Scotland. And I said, oh, what's he got? Well, then I went on to check in the papers. The moderator of the Free Church of Scotland, godly man, been on different issues, he publicly in the papers in Scotland denounced it and warned people to have nothing to do with him. And all credit to him for speaking out. Creffo Dollar, last year, or the year before it was maybe, made an appeal to his supporters and TV watchers to donate $65 million because his old private jet was getting a bit old and he wanted a new one. He drives two Rolls Royces. One was given by his church and he was asked, oh, but if the church want to give it to me, why not? Why can't I enjoy it? They say he owns four or five mansions, one of them worth $2.8 million and so on. It goes on and on and on. What does he preach? Health and wealth. Send your seed gift to me. Send your $1,000 gifts to me and God will give you back so much and so much. It's heresy. And so many others investigated for their financial. That's exactly what Peter said. Watch their motive. Watch their motive. And Jude actually says, watch their morals. They turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. And I'm not going to go down that line. We could this morning talk about some of these great people who have great followers. Their morals. Oh, with the grace of Christ, you can just go and sin all you like. Well, Christ spoke about their ministry. By their fruits you shall know them. But let's get to 1 John. Here's the test, the message. The message, test their message. Verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Here's how you know. End of verse 6, hereby we know. And in the verses in between verse 2 to 6, you've got test their message. Examine what they teach. Let me quickly give you the three tests. The three tests. Look at verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Now what does he mean there, heareth us? He that is not of God heareth not us. What does he mean there? Well, do you remember in chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, we pointed out that John said, we saw the eternal life. We saw the Savior. We handled him. We heard him. The we are the apostles. The we are the apostles. John was a specially chosen apostle. Paul was an apostle. James was an apostle. Jude was an apostle. and so on. Men who were chosen to start the New Testament church. Remember what it says in Ephesians, we preached on it a couple of years ago through Ephesians, the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. What does that mean? These men were specially gifted and had a special office. When they got up to speak, they could speak under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and they could deliver the exact message of God, just as in the Old Testament, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and so on. They were divinely inspired. 1 Peter says, holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And the words that John wrote for us here, these are not just John's word. Oh, you see the character of John coming through what he writes. And you see the character of Paul in his writings and the character of Peter, and you recognize the expressions. But God, the Holy Spirit, directed them in each word that they wrote. And we have a Bible, we've sung about it, which is the exact God-breathed word. Every word of it, the plenary, verbally inspired, every part of this Bible. And what John means is, look, it wasn't that he was boasting or pulling rank. He's saying, look, we apostles, we were used to write the word. But these teachers aren't teaching what we taught. They're not teaching what God inspired us to write in these epistles. And of course, earlier parts in the Bible, other prophets. They're teaching different than what's in Romans and Corinthians and so on. That's what he means in verse 6. You test them by the word of God. Here with us, the Bible's complete. The Bible's complete. You're not to add to this word of God. So when you get a man or woman coming along and they say, oh, God has given me a new revelation. God has just given me a word of knowledge. You're to do. No. You get Joseph Smith, founder of the Mormons. Oh, this Moroni, whatever it was, appeared to me. And now you don't have the full Bible. Here's extra. Here's extra. Or if you get, as we thought in the Bible class this morning, Muhammad, oh, your Bible's been corrupted, but Gabriel appeared to me and you have the Quran. No. It's not right. You test them by the word of God. And you do have even extreme charismatic and others. And they'll get a word of knowledge. Oh, God's told us this, God's told us that. Listen, there's no man. There's nobody can stand up today and say God told. Now, I mean in the sense of saying this message is directly from God. That's what I mean. Nobody can categorically say this message is directly. I can turn when I'm preaching. It's a different thing to do this. I can stand here and say, listen, God's word to you this morning is don't believe. That's different. I'm preaching it because it's there. It's there. But I cannot, and there's no such thing as a prophet in the sense that John was, or the apostles, and there's no apostle. I know the word apostle means to send out, and in one sense missionaries are apostles in the sense of being sent out on a mission, but the office of an apostle in the New Testament church, the office, that unique office of a New Testament prophet, there are none today because the Bible is complete. You know, that's the foundational truth that we have to hold to. So when somebody stands up and said, God has told me this, no, I'm not listening to you because it's all in the book, and especially if it contradicts the book. Especially if it contradicts what the Bible says. You examine what a man says. And if his teaching isn't according to the book, you accept the Bible. You see, they're extreme charismatics and they add to scripture. They add to scripture. I think of a man, David Duplessis, Mr. Pentecost he was called. Do you know, he mocked people who were fundamentalists. He says, we are not like these fundamentalists who just go to church on Sunday and read from a book. God speaks to us as he did to Peter and to John and to Paul. That's heresy. That's heresy. We preach the book. The word of God. My, it would be a great study that to go down Do you know, by the way, the early Roman Catholic, quote, saints, unquote, spoke in tongues and claimed to have revelations? Do you know in the early church history of the 3rd and 4th century, there are groups that did all that and claimed to have words and interpret and claimed to have messages from God? It's nothing new. But better not go down. Don't have time for that this morning. But you test them. Does their message contradict the word of God? Now notice verse 2 and 3. Let me hurry on. Here's another test. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And in verse 3, if they don't confess he's come in the flesh, he's not of God. And then, what does this mean? You test them by what they believe about Christ. Maybe you say, well, surely doesn't everybody say that Jesus lived? That's not what it means. Jesus is the human name. He's perfectly human. Bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh is the way it's sometimes put. Now he was born without any sin nature. He never sinned, but he's perfect man. You see, there were heretics in John's day who taught that the one who came, the Savior, it was just like a spirit, like a ghost. He wasn't a real human. Now, I know that's not a common heresy today, although it still is kind of taught. Islam believes Christ wasn't crucified. It was just like a ghostly figure. Not a very common, but he's perfect man. He's man. A real man. Born of Mary. That's a fundamental faith. Ah, but he's Christ. And that speaks of his office. That speaks of the prophecy. The mighty God. He's God, Ant-Man, prophet, priest, and king. You see, what these two verses are really saying is that you must believe that God the Son, perfect God, very God of very God, he took into union with himself perfect humanity. He's two natures in one person. That's what he's speaking about. It's not as if he's half God and half man, or not all man and no God, or not all God and no man. He's God and man. Now, we need to understand that. Our Savior is God and man. And the whole point about this is you deny that and there's no good gospel. It's a false gospel. You deny that our Lord Jesus Christ is perfect God and perfect man, then he couldn't be our Savior. Then the cross means nothing. Then all you're left with is, oh, follow Christ's ethical teachings. Follow his example. Do the best you can. That's not the gospel. The gospel is that God the Son in eternity covenanted to come into the world and take a human body into union with himself and to live as a man and to fulfill the law absolutely perfectly for his people, those that will trust him. He kept the law that we could never keep. And thank God he did that. And therefore he was able to offer himself. And there at Calvary, the God-man, he laid down his life and he shed his blood. He's the perfect sacrifice for sin. And he rose again from the dead. And this proves that he paid the full price of sin. And he made an end of sin. He accomplished the work. And he provided salvation. And the gospel is because of the work that our Savior, the perfect God, perfect man, the God-man, the mediator has done. If you put your trust in him, your sins are taken away and you receive eternal life. That's the good news we have. Have you trusted him this morning? That is the God. The message is not, oh well, go to church, do the best you can. Christ left us an example. No, he did. His teaching is the greatest teaching, the greatest preacher. But the good news isn't that you have to try and follow his example and your strength, that he left us things. No, he did it all. That's the gospel. Jesus Christ did it all. Salvation is by a look to Christ. Salvation is depending upon what Christ has done. And that's why we can tell people, no matter your past, no matter what you've done, if you'll only come to Christ and admit you're a sinner and trust in him as Savior, you'll be born again. You'll be saved. You'll be redeemed. You'll be redeemed. You see, the whole gospel's at stake in this, what you believe about Christ. If Christ was only a man and not God, he couldn't be our Savior. And the reverse is true of the heresy in that time. if he was only like a spirit being? Or are some liberals teach that he was just a man, but at his baptism some type of God-like spirit came into him and then went away before his crucifixion? Is blasphemy. Or you get liberal ministers, and there still are this, the Unitarians. And they say, oh, Jesus Christ is a great man. He may even be a great angel, but he's not God. There's no salvation. No salvation. Jehovah Witnesses will come round. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Oh, of course we do. Of course we believe in Jesus. Do you believe he died on the cross to save? Of course we do. I got one of the magazines last year, and it actually said that in it. We as Jehovah Witnesses believe that Jesus died on the cross for sinners. And there's a lot of people sit there. Isn't that wonderful? But read into the article. They believe Christ was a created angel. When they talk, they don't believe that at Calvary the sins were laid upon Christ and he bore them. It's just deceptive trickery with words. And John is saying here, if the teacher doesn't teach that Jesus, his perfect humanity, his perfect deity, think of that hymn, what think ye of Christ as the test to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest until you think rightly of him. What do you think of Jesus Christ? You check the cults. You check the false religions. What do they say about Christ? That's the test. What think ye of Jesus Christ? Do you know him? Do you believe who he is? You see, this is serious, because not to know the truth of who Christ is means you'll perish. There's no salvation outside of Christ. Well, there's a third test here, just be brief. You have the scriptures of truth. You have the Savior who is the truth. Ah, but go down here a little bit later from verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you. Goes on, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. What does he mean, greater is he that is in you? Speaking of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. How do we test whether men are of God or not? The Spirit of God within us. The Spirit of God. And I don't believe that this is just like a feeling. It's more than that. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ made it clear a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. He said, my sheep know my voice. How? The Holy Spirit enables you to know Christ's voice. The Holy Spirit confirms to you the message of the Word of God. Didn't Christ say in the Upper Room Discourse, John 14 and John 16, that the Spirit of truth shall come and he shall guide you into all truth? You see, discerning between truth and error, yes, it's through the scriptures of truth and what the scriptures of truth say about the Savior. He is the truth. But you must have the Spirit of truth to guide you to understand the scriptures of truth, that you would see the Savior who is the truth. Could you see what I mean? You need the Spirit of God to open your intellect. You need the Spirit of God. We need to pray, Lord, open thy word so that I can understand it. It's not a matter of intellectually sitting down and studying the word. Now, we need to do that as Christians. We need to know the doctrines. But it's more than just an intellectual knowledge of facts about the word to compare to false teaching. It's more than that. It's more than that. Men and women can read the Bible with a factual head, academic knowledge. But you know what the truth of the Bible teaches? One day the Lord said, Father, I'm glad that you've hid this from the wise and revealed it unto babes. You know what that meant? It's not your academic ability. Of course we need to give diligence to study and seek to apply our minds. New Testament faith is a faith of the mind. But it's not depending upon our academic ability. It's not that, oh, I'm not too smart. Those people are a lot smarter than me. They're great theologians, so I can't really. No, 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 listen. It's all, the gospel's been committed to all saints. The Holy Spirit reveals scripture to those who are willing to learn, to those who are teachable. He that doeth my will, he shall know of my doctrine, the Savior said, and I will manifest myself to him. The door to the intellect is the will. Or is that willingness, the willingness. The door to the truth is not the intellect, it's your willingness to learn. You see, that's why there's some very humble people in terms of intellectual capacities, know God and his word, and can recognize false teaching just like that. Because they're walking with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit day by day is revealing the scripture. And as they read the scripture, the Holy Spirit is revealing to them the Savior of truth. And when they hear some false teacher come that using deceptive words, my, the Spirit of God takes what they've learned about the Savior. This isn't of God. This isn't of God. We need to have the Holy Spirit. I couldn't help thinking what Stephen prayed in the prayer meeting one night. I don't know if he remembers this, but I don't forget it. Stephen, in his usual, inimitable, unique way, one night after, I can't remember what I spoke on, he prayed, Lord, I would rather sit under a bin man teaching the word of God than under some great professor with his PhD if the bin man's saved and the professor isn't. Did you follow that? You'd rather sit under somebody never had any PhDs or theological or than somebody, I'll put in there a postman. You'd rather sit under a postman who just knows the Lord and they know the Savior and the Spirit of God has taught them, and it's not true. You see, don't let this warning about false teachers say that you have to, it's good. We were taught in Islam the last couple of weeks in the Bible class. Of course, it's good to be aware of the cults and the isms that come around. But oh, if you trust Christ as your Savior, and you submit to the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God takes the scriptures of truth, and he shows you the Savior of truth, and more you learn about him, you'll be kept from error. That's the point we're making. You will be kept from error. You know, I don't want to finish on such, well, it's not, it's good to know these things, we have to, but I want to finish on a real positive, encouraging note. Because look what it tells us here. I want you to look at these last verses. Verse 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Verse 6, we are of God. We are of God. That's John now speaking. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Here's what I'm saying. If you're saved this morning, thank God you've saved me, Lord. That through the scriptures you've shown me that the scriptures are truth. Thank you, Lord, this morning that you've revealed to me through your Spirit. Lord, it was not any intellectual ability of mine. It was not, and every Christian surely would admit that. Father, it's not because I was any better than anyone else. But thank you, Lord, this morning that you have shown us the Word of God. And your Spirit convicted us of our sin. And you showed us the words of Christ. You showed us that the Savior is God and man. And he went to the cross and took my sin on that middle tree. And the Spirit gave me grace to trust Christ. And Father, thank you for the Word. Thank you when I look in its pages, I can discover that I'm saved for eternity. Thank you, Lord, for the promises. Thank you, Lord, for thy truth. You know, we need to get into the Bible. Maybe sometimes you wonder why I often like to take a book, as we're doing at the minute through 1 John. Because there's a great danger of just taking isolated texts here, there, and yonder. Great danger. They tell me in some places, why, they don't even need a Bible. You just give a wee talk. You see, for us to be grounded in the Word, we have to study the Bible systematically. It takes effort. It takes effort. What does it mean? We have to get in to study it. But oh, thank God we've the Word. And you know, someone said this, I finish with this. The greatest friend of truth is time. The greatest friend of truth is time. John has just said many shall follow them. Jude told us there'll be many followers. Peter said many shall follow them. And there might be some teacher teaching falsehood and you say, how come there's so many thousands following them? Your mind baffles you at the Joel Osteens who don't even preach Christ, and yet just what I mean is Christ and his work on Calvary, and yet thousands go to hear him. What is there? There's no message. Your mind baffles. But listen, time will tell. Time will tell. Because did we not sing it this morning? And we know that when time and the world pass away, God's word shall for endure. Make sure you know Christ this morning. Make sure you trust him as your Savior and as your Lord.